If you have your Bibles, please join me in Psalm 8. Making our way through some of the Psalms and attempts to or desire to encourage. So here the infallible, inspired Word of the living God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Down through the ages, there are three questions mankind has asked about our existence. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? However, today, there are added questions that is gaining much attention. Who am I? What is my identity? Of what importance do I have? What significance do I have in this world I live? Am I considered legitimate? Today, the search for personal significance, legitimacy, and identity are being pursued by many at so many different levels, and it's being done in a whole new and different way. And for some, this idea that one can identify themselves as something other simply by their own choosing is sadly finding a very strong foothold within our culture. And in this misguided pursuit, significance and acceptance in this newly self-identified self, and I use those words intentionally, is at the core of this search. And the desire to be recognized as legitimate in who they have identified and proclaimed to be, well, that legitimacy is at the foundation of this. Is what they seek and desire. So how does one find personal significance, recognition, identity? If we choose to address this question following today's philosophical or psychological approaches, then we may very well find ourselves discussing matters that to us seem incredibly illogical. However, here today, that is not the path we're going to follow. However, the question of significance and identity and recognition remains, and they are significant, important questions, issues. Therefore, the questions need to be answered. Are we significant? Who are we? And so, to answer these questions of significance and identity and all these things I've mentioned, we must go to the one, as sweet little Logan pointed out, to the one who created us, who put all of this in place, who established who we are, because he is the only one that can give us the right answer to who we are. And this is what Psalm 8 does. It answers the questions of significance, importance, legitimacy, identity? Psalm 8 answers these questions. However, first and foremost, it does so much more than that by acknowledging first the glory and the majesty of the God we serve. And as John Calvin put it, and I will paraphrase it, we cannot know who we are. We cannot answer those questions. We cannot know who we are until we first know who God is. And as I said, Psalm 8 does this. So, listen again. First, as I've said, Psalm 8 declares, proclaims the majesty of God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. But then right behind it, it cites our small place before him. What is man? In your majesty and greatness, what are we that you have any concern for us at all? And yet in the next verse, it says that God has created us in his image and has crowned us with majesty and glory. And added to that, has given us responsibility of taking care of his creation. And see, this is significant. And it should be primary in our thinking. God has crowned mankind with glory and majesty. So this speaks to our significance. This speaks to our legitimacy. This speaks to our identity. Who we are. And please know we should face these facts with great humility. For we have done nothing to deserve this status that the psalmist is speaking of. But here God has chosen to give mankind, place him a little bit lower than the heavenly beings. That's quite an identity. So let's continue digging deeper. And again, this phrase, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth, and you have set your glory above the heavens. Well, to be honest with you, to try to comment and give adequate description of the majesty of God, I could ask the other two preachers in the room, how do you do that? Well, that's something no one on this side of glory will ever be able to do fully. However, we are to acknowledge that majesty and that glory. And this is what David is doing here as we look deeper into this first verse. David does this, acknowledging his glory, by using two different names for God. Two different names to acknowledge his glory. Now, please note in your text, if you have your Bible open, that in the beginning it says, O Lord, our Lord. And please notice that one is in capital letters and one is not. So what David is doing is describing Lord using two of his names. First of all, the capitalized Lord is the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is that personal covenant name. And in reality, it comes from a verb. Isn't it amazing that God's covenant name is a verb? And the verb means, it's the one he told Moses when Moses says, who do I tell the people that you are? He says, tell them I am who I am. That's a verb. And what it means is God is continuously being who he is. He's always in action, being who he is. You think that deserves majesty and honor and glory? Absolutely. All right, now the second Lord, L lowercase O-R-D, is the word Adonai, which means sovereign or Lord, lowercase. But notice David also says, O Lord, our Lord. Our Lord, revealing the personal, intimate relationship we have with the sovereign, with the king, with the Lord. Although God is eternal and high and lifted up, he has graciously lowered himself into that personal covenant relationship with you. David then refers to those names of God as being majestic. Majestic is your name. His name is majestic and refers to the perfection of his character. It implies royalty. And as I've said, these names identify and explain who God is. He is the great and high lifted up Yahweh, but yet he's Adonai, who has lowered himself so that he could be known by you. And then he says, and here is very telling, especially to our culture today, David also says that the majesty of God's name can be seen in all of the earth and in the heavens. When we consider God's majesty as seen in all of the earth, I'm so thankful that he has given us eyes to see and know that as I look out and see this beautiful place in which God has allowed us to live, I see evidence of God. When you consider the complex balance of the creation, and we can go in so many different directions here, explaining the intricacies of this created order. Just think of the process of carbon dioxide that the trees produce so that we can breathe. The seasons come automatically. The balance between insects and birds and animals and all of this thing. We could go through this. Think of the incredible nature of the human eye. It would be absurd. No, it is absurd that any of this came about by chance. You can see God looking at each other. You can see evidence of God looking. Walk out there across the field. You see evidence of God. We are not here by chance. And as we spoke of 2 and 3 weeks ago, Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 20, for his invisible attributes, all the evidences we see, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world into things that we have that have been made so that they are without excuse. Do you know what the psalmist calls the one who does not believe in God? A fool. But as we know, there are those who stand in opposition. They do not accept these truths of God. They'll walk out there and see Mother Nature has grown a Bradford pear tree. There's those who stand in contradiction to this evidence. So how does God address those who oppose him in this obvious evidence? Look with me at verse 2. You talk about being humiliated. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes and still the enemy of the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes, Logan. Just put the world on notice. He's special because God created him. John Calvin puts it this way. He says, when he sees the process of conception and the birth of an infant clearly displaying God's majestic splendor, and even the birth of a child can defeat the enemies of God who will not recognize that as the miracle that it is. That biological process. And everyone in this room understands, we've been taught all these things about how that sperm and egg and all, and you're going to tell me that you have some nano aspect of wisdom and you're going to believe that's chance? Again, as we read in Romans chapter 1, that God gave them up to a depraved mind. Because only a depraved mind could believe such illogical facts. Can't call them facts. Statements. All right, moving on through the psalm. I'll get on my soapbox there in a minute. Y'all be careful. As we consider these next verses, I want you to put your imaginations to work here. Imagine David as a young man out tending the flocks. He's lying on his back in the desert at night, gazing up at the stars. Look with me at verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? One of the blessings. One of the fun things to do when we have opportunity to go to Belize is because of the very low light pollution they have, they don't have very good street lights. You can go out into the fields at night and you'll see stars you didn't know. I mean, it's just on and on because there's no light pollution. I mean, it's, you talk dark. And so here I can attest to what David, look at all of this and you have concern for me? David asks, what is man that you are mindful? Now this word he uses for man is telling. It is the word for man that emphasizes the frail human nature. What is this frail human that you have any concern with? And in the realization of how small he was, we are, this next portion of the psalm may actually shock us. Look at verse 5. We're small and insignificant, frail in our nature, yet you have made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor and have given him dominion over all that's listed there. Despite our small state before God, he has given us a crown of man, the crown of glory, and he has set us in place to rule over his creation. Now, in verse 5, there's a debated phrase here, and I'll just end the whole debate right here. In our text, we read that you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. That phrase, heavenly beings. In the original language, this word is Elohim, which is another name for God. So our translations, such as the one I just read from, that uses the phrase heavenly beings, might be taking a little bit too much into play that I can't explain it. However, I accept clearly original Hebrew language that God is named here by using the name Elohim. And so you have made man a little lower than God himself. Please, when someone passes away, do not say that they've gone to heaven and gained their wings. We aren't angels. The angels are not created. They are below us. David is speaking of mankind being a little lower to God. And again, the caution. We must hear these statements with great humility. Because again, we have done nothing to substantiate us being in this place. One commentator notes that nowhere is man's dignity asserted more clearly and boldly than in this passage. However, we must again remind ourselves that the reference to this man in this context is before the fall. Ooh, before the fall. This perfect situation of the relationship here is before the fall, because in the fall, sin entered in. And so sin taints our ability to recognize the majesty of God. Even as we look out across our creation as David did, we cannot fully perceive the glory and the majesty in this creation. Yeah, I recognize, I have a comprehension. Even as we are given rule and dominion over this creation, we don't do very well with it. There's sin all around us. Yet, since the fall, mankind has accomplished some remarkable feats, gaining dominion over this creation. Look at the achievements, especially since the 1600s, in medicine and science and psychology and religion, engineering. Great advancements. However, sadly, all of these accomplishments are tainted by sin. But we boast and do not acknowledge that the ability to discover these has been given to us by God. We'd rather puff ourselves up and say, look how smart I am. Well, we've got some pretty intelligent people. I'll grant, give you that. But where would we be without sin? But science and the advancement in knowledge that I just briefly mentioned there, they cannot reconcile us with God. That sin issue Science will never answer that. The advancements in any of these fields will never answer that. So what did God do? He sent His own Son to provide the sacrifice for our sins. And with the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the new heavens and new earth, we can then fulfill exactly what Psalm 8 is speaking about. We will revel in the majesty of God and see it as it is. We will be put to work ruling over this creation as He first designed. And all of this should lead us to exactly the place it led David as he wrote this psalm. Again, look at verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. I began this sermon by stating that there are three questions mankind has been asking down through the ages. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Well, you as a Christian have the answers. We came from the Creator God, made in His image. I am here to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And where am I going? I'm going home. Not to Seneca. I'm going home. I'm going to my Lord Jesus when the Father calls on Him to come and take up His church. People today are looking for significance, legitimacy, and identity, and this lost world is looking inside the fallen human mind to try to answer these things. The answers aren't there. It is only in Jesus Christ that we find the answers to our identity, find the answers to our significance, find the response to our legitimacy. It is only in Jesus Christ. So let us, like David, say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all of the earth. Amen. Amen.